Greetings and blessings to all on this evening of Earth Day. Welcome to another Hour with an Angel with Linda Dillon, channel for the Council of Love and author of the book The Great Awakening. Joining her this evening is Steve Becko, founder of the website GoldenAgeOfGaia.com and author of Building Nova Gaia, Towards an Earth That Works for Everyone. I'm Jeffrey West, sitting in for Graham Duye this evening. I invite you to bring in Raphael's Green Flame of Healing for Gaia as we honor her service to humanity on this evening and hold her in the highest energies of love, light, protection, and service for the highest good of all. Our guest this evening is Sanat Kumara, Raj. With that, I turn things over to you, Steve.
Thank you very much, Jeff. And for our listeners, Sanat Kumara is known to all of Earth's civilizations and has intervened at critical periods to send us in new directions. Welcome, Raj.
And welcome to you on this magnificent day. Welcome to all of you during this time of celebration of Gaia. And before we begin this day, I would like to step aside for her to send greetings to each of you.
Thank you.
And as planetary logos, this is my honor to do. Greetings. Greetings, I am Gaia.
Greetings, Gaia.
I am Terra Nova. I am Nova Gaia. I am Nova Earth. I am one of your mothers and your best friend. And I take this opportunity of Earth Day to speak to the hearts, the minds and the bodies of each of you. And I beckon you, my beloved friends, from the place where I am anchored in the fifth dimension, the place of change, magnificent, continual change and constancy, as the mother has put it. And it is the place of love. I thank each of you for your gifts of love, big, small, and in between. In your awakening, and I do not simply mean in the past several months, I mean in the awakening of this lifetime, you have become and you have remembered the gifts that we share together, and that you are connected infinitely and eternally to me while you are on Earth and off Earth. Our connection is strong and permanent. Even those of you who have traveled from afar, because you have done so out of love. And it is love not only for our Divine Mother, and not only for the interplanetary systems and the multiverse, but love and honoring for me. And you have begun to know and feel in this new multidimensionality, the reality of our partnership. And whether it is through the asphalt, the grass, or the red rocks, it matters not. Whether it is through the hummingbird or the eagle, it matters not. Just as the mother claims you, so do I. Not in a way of control or subservience, but in gentle embrace of love. So I wish you to know on this day, on this eventful day, because as humans you love events and you love celebrations, and dear heart, so do I. So on this eventful day, I say to you, I give you my gifts freely. I share my bounty and my abundance of all resources freely. I embrace you gently. I cradle you in my arms. And I rock you to sleep, and I awaken you with the kiss of the morning air. I give you my love. Farewell and thank you.
And thank you, Mother. Well, that was a welcome surprise. And Raj, now we turn back to you. Archangel Michael suggested that a discussion of the universal law would be a good opening into a discussion of vastness and the constructed self. Can you tell us, what is the object of the universal laws? Why have them in the first place? What work do they do?
Yes, it is my pleasure to continue. And you may call me S.K. Araj, or you may call me friend or brother, but I am simply pleased to be called on this day. And it is very fitting that we are having this conversation, for universal law is applicable, just as you have said. It is the framework upon which you come to understand how things work. It is part of the universal grid. It is part of the understandings of how things happen or don't happen, and the alignment that one can gain in terms of your own process of ascension and return to the source of one. So it is the framework upon which creation, what you have called the divine qualities, everything hangs. So it is the grid upon which you come to understand how things work. It is peculiar, is it not, that you have, as a human collective of all breeds, such an obsession with this word law. You have judicial law, you have laws of mathematics, quantum physics, but you do not have, and you have not aligned fully or completely with universal law. And yet, it is the starting point, and it is the finishing point. And when you are in alignment with universal law, you come to a place of understanding of how to position yourself, particularly within time and space, how your actions or inactions or sense of being can be measured and reflected, It is the guidelines. Well, it is stronger than guidelines. It is the law laid down by the Mother, Father, One for adherence to the divine qualities. So you have been having a very rich and meaningful discussion, which I have participated in gladly, about divine qualities and how they work. But if you want to know the how-to, and that is how you get to some of your vasanas or issues or blockages, however you choose to describe these, is that you reflect upon the universal law and what is not in alignment. So often you say to me, well, Raj, I have been working on something, but it does not seem to click for me. It does not produce the results. So what I would refer you back to is this codification, this grid, this framework upon which everything hangs. All of the universal laws that I speak of are interconnected. So it is not a matter of simply working or understanding one individual law. That is not sufficient. One of the reasons that we are having this wonderful conversation, and I am so glad that you have invited me to do this, is that you are at a point in your transition, your ascension, your evolution, collectively, individually, in tandem with the kingdoms and with Gaia, that you are ready to more fully embrace and understand and build societies, a planet, that is in adherence and alignment with the law. What we wish to say about the law and how this will help you understand what we are referring to, why do we have universal law? It is the rules. It is the rules of how things work, and they do not change. So one of the issues that you are working with is you are in an environment, a situation of constant change, whether you acknowledge it or realize it or not. And so when you refer to the law, you have a framework within which to work with that constant change and to go to the place of balance. The purpose of the law, the foundation of the law, is balance. It is to assist you, to guide you, and all beings, to the place of balance. So that is the reason for universal law. When we said to the mother, and the mother said to many, how will the beings, not only on earth, not only upon this beloved jewel Gaia, how will they understand how to construct, how to proceed? It was the understanding of the law, of how things work, just like your scientific law, or what you sometimes refer to as natural law. Now, you do not go about every single day thinking or feeling, am I in alignment with the law, whether it is human law or natural law? It is the way of being. Now, many of the human laws that have evolved are not at all in alignment with universal law. And that is where things have gone awry and where false grids and paradigms have grown up and actually assumes the illusion of solidity. but they do not have a reference point in the heart of one. And then people become disenchanted, disillusioned, disappointed, because they think they are adhering to law and it is not having the results of creation that they desire, but it is because they have not taken the time. This is not a criticism. Now is the time to understand this body of law. So the law is in existence, to answer your question, to assist you and many far beyond Gaia to understand how things work. It is actually very simple.
Okay, could I intervene at this point, Raj?
Yes, of course you may. You know I tend to go on and on.
I tend to listen on and on, and from time to time I say, well, maybe I should ask a question, but I'm just so fascinated listening to you. We're on a journey from God to God, and I get the sense that the universal laws are what keep us moving in the direction we're destined to go. But at the same time, it isn't as if you can go to the corner store and buy a pocketbook on the universal law. There's very little literature out, dependable literature out on the universal law. So here we are. It's so important to us, and it's one of the matters we have so little literature on. What can you say about that quandary that we face?
I recognize the quandary. And you will also be glad to know that I certainly have been prodding and working with the channel to write all these laws down and to expand on them through channeling so that there is more what you think of as tangible material, so that there can be that level of interaction and understanding. But if you go into your heart consciousness, and this is the compass that you have all been given, and that is reset within you, and was reset, by the way, in December, it is a very simple question. Does this situation, does this action, does this feeling, does this behavior, does this situation feel that it is in alignment with love and with one? Does it feel within me, within my heart knowingness, that it is in the balance and that it is not only slowly moving me along, and there are many who have chosen a very slow path, so I do not say that in judgment, but does this jettison me, because you are in a time of rapid change? Does this align with the love that I know within me, that is my divine essence spark? Does it align with the love of the mother? Does it feel like love? And you say to me, well, Raj, how do I know what love feels like? And that would be a silly question, because there is not one human being, and certainly none of the kingdoms, who do not know when they are completely honest with themselves what love feels like. Now, often there are excuses, and I speak very frankly. Now, excuses are fine, but they coerce you in many ways to be very honest with yourself. So when you are making an excuse, and this is where vasanas come in, you know that you are working a program that is really not in alignment with the truth of your universal self. And it doesn't serve you in that returning home to one. Some of you, my beloved friends, have chosen a very lengthy return to the heart of one. It is as if you have chosen in many ways to make a grand circuit, a grand tour prior to the return. Others of you have chosen a very direct route. Both are correct. But let us refer now to one of the laws that I have just begun speaking of. And it is the law of completion and continuity. So you say to me, well, Raj, what does that mean? Let us put it in very simple terms, because we do not wish these laws to be complex or misunderstood. The law of completion and continuity, in your language, would mean that everything has a beginning and an end. And at the end, there is always, always another beginning. That is the law. So when you have chosen your grand circuit or your direct route, you have known in adherence to the law that you have begun a journey. And that journey is always the same, my beloved friends. It is a journey back to one. It is a journey back to the love. Does it cooperate with all the other laws? Yes. Go ahead. Ask your question, friend.
Thank you. You've used different words to say, it seems to me, the same thing. For instance, you say the law is all about balance. Now, balance is the still point. Still point is the heart. And on other occasions, you've said, go into your heart. On other occasions, you've talked about love. And St. Paul called that the fulfillment of the law. And then you talk about the return to the one. Since the one is found through the heart, is the law all about a return to the heart?
Yes and no. It is the guidebook about the return to the heart. And the guidebook, or the direction that we offer you, is the same for those upon Gaia as it is in the Pleiadian sector, or Arcturus, or Andromeda, or CCC. So it is the same throughout, and that is a glue factor as well, in terms of the unity and the love. Now, is the law imprinted within that heart consciousness and love? Yes. So when I speak of a specific law, you will have immediately that heart knowing, oh, yes, I know that. That makes sense.
Okay. Archangel Michael actually said that the universal law is the framework on which everything hangs, not only the bumper rails, but the skating rink itself. Can you expand on what it is he was wishing us to know by those comments, please?
Yes, because you have questioned my dear friend Michael about this issue of universal law simply being the guide rails so that you do not go off the supernova highway. And he has corrected you in making sure that you understand that it is not simply the guide rails, it is the entirety. So when you are operating, when you are breathing, when you are acting, when you are feeling, when you are processing, when you are praying, when you are creating, you are operating on that framework, on that tapestry, on that grid of universal law. You cannot absent yourself from this framework. It is not possible. And the universal laws that I speak to you of today and in the future is not simply universal law that is applicable to the humans. It is the universal law that we all adhere to. And that is where you are headed. That is your interdimensional shift. It is that heart knowing love alignment with the law.
You see the difficulty we have, Raj, with what you're saying, and that's that earthly laws prescribe behavior. Earthly laws say, you mustn't do this, and if you do this, this is what will happen to you. And so we encounter universal law, and it is not just the bumper rails, but it is the skating rink itself. So I don't think we're used to thinking of a law as being more than prescription of behavior, but the universal law is more than a prescription of behavior, is it not?
Oh, yes. And in fact, if you think of the laws, well, a portion of the laws of human reality, think of your legal jurisprudence system. As I have said, you are not necessarily thinking in each of your actions, am I behaving within the confines or the prescriptive definitions of behavior that are acceptable in this country that has laid down these laws? You don't really think about it unless you are breaking the law. Now, the difference is that human law is based on punishment and control. So they have no real divine essence, do they? And one could argue, and I can hear you already saying yes, but the underpinning of that is order and love and not taking advantage of some people. But that is not the nature of universal law. one of your primary drives as spiritual, human, emotional, mental beings is to find out how things work and how do I get home. So think of this. You have a system, actually, for the grid of humanity at this time. There are specifically about 13 universal laws that you are working with. And I have mentioned one today, continuity and completion, completion and continuity. But these are all interconnected. So they form a grid, a skating rink, upon which you move. And as you work with one law, your heart opens more fully in terms of divine alignment and knowing. And then it leads you to the next law and the next law. But your actions become referred reference points to the law rather than some constructed reality or self or some false grid or vasana. So what the law does, and when you truly engage with the universal law, is that it removes the illusion upon which so much of human experience has been based. So that is why it is so important, critical, at this time, why I am stepping forward and saying, all right, my beloved friends, it is time for you, each of you, to more fully understand the law. And I am happy, I am thrilled, to be able to act, can I say, as your tutor, as your guide.
Thank you for that, Raj. And, of course, as you said, we are awakening at this time. We're going through a very rapid awakening process. And we're also preparing to build Nova Earth, or some of us are actually building Nova Earth. And so do tutor us. What is it most important for us to know from the universal law as we approach this awakening and as we approach this work?
So let us talk of a couple of these laws. Let us speak, because we have been discussing the nature of universal law. Now what we will do is talk about one of the laws, which is purpose, sacred purpose. And as you are coming to address your divine qualities and your vasanas, it is important to know and to connect with and understand the universal law of purpose. So let me explain. Again, brief, succinct, and I will absolutely welcome your questions because it will feel very familiar to you. All energy that emerges from the heart of one in whatever form has sacred purpose, expression, direction, and that is also connected to your completion and continuity. Now, the sacred purpose law is the understanding in the universal sense that the purpose of all existence is to love, to be of joy, and find your way back home. But in that, and within that, so there are many clauses to this law, is what is your sacred purpose? How does your purpose, and you and I, my friend, and particularly you and Michael, have had this conversation about alignment of purpose. How does your purpose, your expression in this lifetime, as a fragment of your broader journey, align with the law of love? Do you understand what I am saying?
Yes, I do, Raj. Please continue.
So that is the starting point of understanding this journey. What is my sacred purpose? Then there is the law of intent. And it is aligning your entire being, all realms, all dimensions, all realities, all experience, all thought, all emotion, with the intent. It is the power of intent, and the mother's intent is that you know and experience love and return home. That is the law of intent. How does it translate into your world, into your experience in building Nova Earth? So if I may use you as an example, your sacred purpose is very closely aligned with the Divine Mother and Archangel Michael.
Yes.
And it is to be a communicator of truth and to assist the collective in their awakening and their understanding of who they are, what their potential is, and to be a vessel of communication for this side,
yes,
for the company of heaven, for your star brothers and sisters, and for humanity. So your sacred purpose is a communicator and a conduit.
Yes, I understand.
So the law of intent, as it applies to you in that purpose, is how do you fulfill that sacred purpose with intention that is clearly aligned with your sacred purpose? If you, for example, and this is not you, and so I use a far-out example, if you choose in that free will zone, and the law, the framework of the law, is to help you align rather than to make choices that take you away from love. It is very aligned with Jeff Ray's green print for life, his life path. There are many ways of getting at this. But if your intention is, all right, I am well positioned to be a communicator, I have know my sacred purpose, but what I am going to do is to control the flow of information. I am going to allow disinformation. I am going to ignore what I know to be true. I am going to not work as fully as I might, and work has need to be always in balance. That is the reference point. That is the still point. But if your intention is not in alignment with your sacred purpose, then you are not in alignment with the law. So every intention, big, small, and in between, the intention to live a life of purity, of grace, but that is reflected into action. It is reflected into the qualities of kindness and truth speaking and sharing and tenderness and mercy, cooperation and compassion. So if your intention then does not translate into the practicality, not only of your actions, but your feelings and your thoughts, because there are many, many on earth who, for example, will do what appears to be the right thing, but they do it because they want to appear to be kind or generous or thoughtful or sincere. But the intent is not there. What they are doing is they are working from an ego place, or they are taking an action because they think they have to, but in fact they are angry. What is your expression? Mad as hell?
Yes.
So that intention just went awry, did it not? Or I am doing
yes.
it because I am afraid if I don't do it, I am going to get in trouble. Either in trouble with the law, with my wife, with my husband, with my children, with my neighbor, or with God. Well, that is not good enough. That is not the alignment with the law. So the emotional component, the mental component, you cannot think, well, I will do this so I will be in alignment, but I really think this is a bunch of hogwash. No. Everything. All parts of you, and that is why you come to this still point of your heart and your knowing. It has to be in alignment. Now, do we force it? Are there punitive ramifications if you do not adhere to the law? Well, the punitive ramifications, and you have seen many, is that life doesn't work. It is not joyful. It is not loving. It is not sustainable. It is not rewarding. It does not feel good. And you see this every day on the streets of every country. You see this in the quiet of homes where people isolate in desperation. So the ramifications aren't what comes from on high. The concept of punishment, of judgment, is a human construct, not a divine one. But are there ramifications? Yes, because what you are doing individually and collectively is hurting yourself, making yourself miserable. Now, I know, as I say this, as your tutor, there are some of you who are listening this night who are saying, well, that's terrible. He's putting it all on us. No, my beloved friends, I am not putting it all on you. What I am saying is there is a body of understanding that if you adhere to it, you will fly free. So it is part of the collective education and evolution because you have decided to come as one. Even those who are in the, shall we say, the undecided group. So this is the law of intent. Am I clear on that?
Yes, indeed. Can you distinguish the difference, if there is any, between the divine qualities and the universal law?
The universal law. Think of it as the framework which, if adhered to and followed, allows the divine qualities to thrive. They are completely interconnected. So think of it as the structure, the law is the steel girders, the 2x4s, the foundation, and the qualities are the covering and the innards of the building.
Okay, that's helpful.
So you cannot separate them, because when you are in the purity of adherence to the law, then you are practicing, you are living the law and the divine qualities. So you cannot separate these out. If you have one, you have the other. But it is an understanding, and you are hungry. Not simply you, dear heart, but all of you. You are hungry for more information. How do we construct Nova Earth in a way that truly is different? So if you say, well, if we all practice the divine qualities, then we will be there. And to this I say, yes, you will be. But if you want to understand how it works, how those divine qualities reflect to the framework laid out by the Mother, Father, One, then this is how.
Rather than leaving this question to the end of the hour and then being rushed to answer it, until Linda writes her book, and I will encourage her after the show, can you tell us any very good, acceptable sources on the universal law? What about the Law of One by law?
The Law of One, the Law of Love Yourself and Love Your Neighbor. We're not talking about biblical truth here. The law of the divine qualities. There are many four agreements, five agreements. Anything that is written by the Dalai Lama explains this journey and understanding. So it is not that the information has not been out there. It is more that the human beings, and we do not mean the light workers necessarily at all, but the human beings have not been eager to adopt this blueprint as the blueprint upon which everything else is formulated.
And these are just, in the end, thoughts in the mind of God, are they not?
It is the thoughts or the existence. That is correct. It is not what you think of as random thoughts. It is a construct of creation.
Is it correct to say that they've come only from the mind of God, or does the angelic realm play a role in the devising?
The angelic realm does not play a role.
So they only God?
They adhere to universal law. They may have different emphases and different laws that they look at because they are operating in a different sphere, and therefore they are, how shall we say, blessed or visited with different thoughts from the Source One. But no, these are laid down, given, shared, however you wish to conceive of this, directly from One.
So the plan is for us all to return home, as you called it, to realizing our true identity as God, and the laws are there to equip us, to orient us. Is that correct in this journey?
To orient you, it is like what you say. So many of you in your vehicles have a MapQuest or GPS. This is your universal GPS, dear heart. There is a law of unification, and that is part of what you are working on building Nova Earth. The unification is the deep understanding that all things, everywhere, throughout the omniverse, are unified as one. So as you are transversing and making your journey, you are also doing so through that interconnectedness, not only to the heart and essence of One, but to everything. That is why this decision by the human collective to go forward as One, in many ways, in my role as Planetary Logos, makes sense because it adheres to that law of unification. It is in a tacit and actually very active understanding that you are united, that One does not travel alone. So while you think or feel or know or believe that you are on this journey back, you are also on this journey with everything. There is only one grid. That is the law. How else would you travel? You cannot be jumping from grid to grid to grid to grid. Now, does it stretch? Are there times when you access a different portion of the grid by changing dimensions or going through wormholes or black holes or white holes? Yes. But it is still One.
When you say only one grid, is that the same as saying that there... See, I'm trying to understand that. I don't know if that's like a wave going back to God, or if it's God, him, her, itself. One could say there is only God, just as one could say there is only One.
And that is the recognition that you are only One, and you are only all.
Right. Now, but the grid, just by calling it a grid, distinguished from something else. So, do you follow what I'm saying? Just by calling it a grid, you have distinguished it from, say, all, or one, or God. What?
The totality
of
the grid is God.
Okay, maybe that's, okay, that helps me. Thank you. Okay, I'm satisfied now. Thank you.
That was a very important question.
Thank you for answering that. How do we work with the universal laws?
Go to your still point. And simply call me. Practicing your divine qualities. And when you are practicing certain qualities, they more naturally align with different laws, with different thoughts, with different expressions, shall we say, of God, of One. But it is already within you. So working with the law is being in your heart consciousness and being discerning, considering. You live in a world, and I distinguish myself, not the planet, but a world that has become very busy. Now, it is not that you need to judge busy as good or bad. It is indifferent. But in that busyness, busy is a very good place for ego to live. And in that busyness, and in the feeling of self-imposed struggle, because busyness is a form of struggle, it is not a sense of smoothness. It is self-imposed. You do not take time always to discern, is what I am doing directing me to my core essence and to myself, to my I Am presence and the I Am presence? It is as simple as that. When you stop and ask the question, the guidance is already there. Because your beauty, your heart, your soul, however you conceive of that knowingness, is divinely intelligent. It knows. And in the knowing, you can shift from busy to being. And being does not mean that you are not taking action and building Nova Earth. You are. And it is well underway, I am happy to say.
What do you see happening, Lawrence, that you're most happy with?
We look forward to the human collective decision to adhere to the higher laws of love. That is another name for universal law. To adhere to the meaningful existence and the truth of who you are. Now, this is already being expressed by so many of you. And trust me, that brings me incredible joy. Do not underestimate how well you are doing.
Thank you. It's been a wonderful time with you. Thank you for joining us.
Go with my love. Farewell.